Young people, you may be sitting there wondering, can I have any effect on anybody? Is there anybody that I can affect? Is there anybody that my life might touch because of something God's done for me? And there was a young man here that first year who got touched, amen. The Lord moved in his heart. He let the Lord in to move in his heart in a great way. There was somebody else here that wasn't here that year. You weren't here the first year, were you, brother? You've been second year. I didn't think so. After a couple of years of God getting hold of young Zach.
Yeah, man.
And God began to do something in young Zach. His father said, why can't I have some of that?
That's right. That's right.
Why can't I get in on some of that? And now he's hooked. He's been here every year for the last
Saturday. Oh, we like it.
Yeah, man.
Amen. He's our friend. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Come preach to us.
Amen.
That's good.
He's my friend, amen. And I'm sure glad God's touched him, amen.
Amen.
They're all picking on you.
What are you saying?
Tim, be nice. You're always nice, aren't you? I never known you'd be nothing but nice.
My wife's not here.
Ah, okay.
I'm so sweet, it's pitiful.
Amen. It's all yours, brother.
I should have turned that off before I said that.
I can edit it.
They'll edit that part before we put it out so you
can hear it. Nervous as I can be. I guess it's something I want to get over. I just have to get over, you know, calm down again, okay?
Yeah, don't
get
me in.
I'm saved, so I can't take Valiums anymore.
Yes.
Have to do it some other way. You know, it's been on my heart this week. The first time I came up here, when I got saved, Brother DeWitt, God put a love in my heart for people. Not tough. I never have been tough, but it was a time when I didn't love people.
Yes.
When I looked at them young people, I saw my children, and I loved them. Loved them. And I sat over there Monday night and thought, well, I still love them.
Amen.
It's changed. I still love you. I love Black Creek Baptist Church. I'm glad to be part of it. And one of the worst things you could ever do is, you know, this thing's hard on me. Like Brother Lou, supercalifragilistic Capone on the end of that. This thing's hard on me, man. It's the biggest thing I could think of. Just call him. I couldn't think of nothing any bigger. But, brother, I didn't sleep at all last night. One of the worst things you could do is ever tell me the night before I got to preach, and I stayed up all night. I prayed for you, though. I did do that. I prayed God give you hemorrhoids and drips for the rest of your life. God, he's probably up there sleeping well, and I'm over here in this room of dead. I pray God can tear him up. Thank God. Hey, man, let them run out of toilet paper on top of that. Brother, it went beyond that.
That's what it is.
Brother, it went beyond that. It wasn't just you. I could hear this big old 16-foot smart aleck Monday night going, preach him, preach him. So I pray for Brother McVeigh, too. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother. I'm telling you. I just wonder if there's anybody else I could criticize before I get to going real good. Criticizing people makes me feel so good.
Amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for them young men preaching the other night. I appreciate that. Amen.
Yes,
I feel like that. I still wouldn't let that sucker marry my daughter or granddaughter. All right. Ladies, when does that biological clock stop ticking? You know, what about what's a bad time to have children? 40? 45, I'd let him marry when she's about 40. That way they can have about 5 youngins, one a year before it's over. Right. And one little message ain't going to get it done. I'll promise you that. He's going to come up, plow my garden, mow my yard. Man, get something out of this thing. All right. Thank God. I was thinking when Zach was preaching the other night, I guess I'm a little partial to Zach preaching, and I was thinking the other night that he's not just preaching. He's living. He yes, lives sir. It. Amen. Yeah. He lives it. Yeah. He lives it. Send a young man go to a public school and live it. Amen. Like it.
Amen.
Zach don't understand sometimes, you know, I got three boys and one of them is about halfway right with God. Another two, I don't think they are. And then, I got Matthew, and I'm proud of Matthew, and I like ball, and I like football, I like boxing, I like sports. And sometimes I get around Zach, and I talk about Matthew, and I just pump it up. But, well, I'm so glad that I have an opportunity to coach kids in baseball myself. And Zach, just a couple of weeks ago, son, I was with some, and we were talking about kids getting scholarships, and I was so glad to tell them about you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
Glad Bill Brooks said, well, I had one, offer here, had an offer there, had an offer here. He said, no, I'm just going to go preach. God wants me to preach.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Young people, I'm telling you, you're talking about an honor to your mom and daddy when you do the right things. It's an honor to your mom and daddy.
Amen.
That's right. You obey them when you're sitting over there in the living room and you say, yes, sir, no, sir. And they take out the trash, and you take out the trash. And when you get out there all by yourself, and you out there in the world on your own, and you doing the things of God, well, you're talking about honoring your parents. Amen.
Yes,
what an honor.
That's good.
That's right. What an honor.
Right, right.
All right. Let's go. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. Thank you so much, Brother Taylor. I'm just kidding about all that. I hope you don't run out of toilet paper, but I appreciate the opportunity to preach and be here. And I do think it's an honor to be able to be here. And I am intimidated. I scare myself to death thinking about Brother McVeigh and how smart he is, smart aleck he is. And then Brother Asquith, how smart he is. And I think about Brother Hain and Brother Dale. I think about these men, and I'm the one that's going to stand. God help us. God help us. So, you know, let's just look at 1 Corinthians 10. We'll start reading verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to preach them all. I just want to read them. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Wait a minute. I feel like I ought to pay homage to my boy over here hanging out. Peace. That's Slick Jagger. That's not Mick Jagger. That's Slick Jagger. Amen. I'm glad he's hanging out in the house of God. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. What an example. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now I want to focus on that. Then he said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Thank God. I say thank God. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Father, we thank you for this opportunity now. We thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, I could basically sit here and just read that portion of scriptures, and that ought to be enough to do the job I say it is. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word, that they help me, God, that I might help others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We all have our own strengths, ladies and gentlemen. We all have our own weaknesses. Every individual sitting in this place is an individual, from the youngest to the oldest. I have a granddaughter back there, and I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm not trying to be mean, but I have a little granddaughter back there that's not quite 2 years old. She's one of the biggest liars in this entire building, friends. She'll lie in a flat heartbeat. I mean, she's so wicked in her heart that it's pathetic, and it's hard for Nene to get a hold of that. It really is. But we all have these faults, from her all the way up to the eldest in the congregation. But I'm glad also to mention, as well as we have faults, we all have strengths as well. I mean, there's some positives, there's some pluses. It ain't all just neutrons, there's some protons that make us up as well. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I think that it would be wise if we once in a while would take an honest evaluation of ourselves. It would be wise on our part to sit down and just take a good look. You say, how do I do that? You just pick up the Bible. It's a mirror. It'll show you what you are. You just sit down and get real honest with yourself and get real honest with God. You just ask God, Lord, would you show me like you see me? And I'll be honest with you, church, it'd be good for us to recognize our faults. It'd be good for us to recognize our weaknesses. And it'd be good for us to recognize our strengths. God will let them be known to us. Here's the reason why. The reason we need to recognize who we are and what we are and our abilities and our limitations is because we have an adversary, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to say it, but our adversary is walking to and fro as a lion, as a roaring lion, and he's walking to and fro seeking who he may devour. And you have to understand that if you don't understand yourself very well, there's an adversary that knows you up one side and down the other. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that makes you up. He knows all the good. He knows all the bad. He knows what you're doing over there in secret. I'm telling you, friend, he knows all kind of things. It do you good to know that about yourself. Why? So that you know how to stand in this evil day. Right? Because there's an attack on you. He's coming against you. He'll find a way to get to you. I've often thought in my home, dear God, Brother Asquith, when I was plugged in, when I was where I ought to be, when I was walking in the Spirit, there's been times where I've heard my wife say something and immediately I said, oh God, help us. Because I realized that the devil didn't find a crack in my life, but he found that thing that I love more than anything in this world. And he said, I'll get up on her. Get to heal through her.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
He had to do that much. He's always found a way in me. Yeah, he's done pretty good at that. I don't know about you, but many times in my childhood I would fight. And we didn't have PlayStation, we didn't have a lot of things, and we had brothers, and man, we just fought. Mama, you know, she let us fight. She grew up in that kind of atmosphere. And, every once in a while, it'd break out in the house. Sister Asquith and Mama would say, hey, if you're going to kill each other, go outside. Don't tear the house up killing each other. Go on out there and do it. As a child, we would fight. Sometimes we just fought for fun. And I mean, blood and black eyes and all that stuff. But if I could ever find a weak area in my opponent, if I could ever find a weakness in that individual, I mean, man, if we got to going at it and we was a wallowing on the ground, if I could ever hear a little oh or a umph or any kind of little sign of weakness, it seemed like, Brother Martin, hey, I just kind of get in on that area like that.
Yep.
Sure. I just kind of ride that thing, man, because I found something that was bothering me. Right. I tell you something, that's what our enemy does to us.
Boy.
He'll find an area in your life, friend, and about the time you give a little sonny, I got it. But good for you to recognize yourself and know who you are and what you are.
Yeah.
Know your pluses and know your negatives. Right.
Yes, sir.
Know, man. Dear God, how to defend yourself. Yes. You must understand, this is what our adversary does. He makes
the weak areas, and he'll find a weak area. I said he'll find a weak area, and he'll make his point of attack in our weak area.
Yeah, he will.
I want to make a statement here that sounds a little bit odd. There's people sitting in this meeting today. There's been people sitting in this meeting in the past. And I ain't been here for what, 3 years, maybe 3 years, 4 years. But you're going to fall out with God. But instead of falling out with God in some kind of weakness in your life, listen real good. Instead of falling out with God in some kind of a weakness in your life, you're going to fall out of God with God over some strength in your life. It's not going to be your dope smoking that's going to pull you out with God. It's not going to be the weaknesses that we hoop and holler. It's not going to be the weaknesses that we face every day. It's not going to be those weaknesses that we lift up so high. It's going to be some strong area in our life.
Right.
That enemy's going to creep in a strong area.
Yes.
A strong area, you listening?
Yeah.
An area where you're strong.
Yeah.
Right.
Enemy's going to find a crack.
Yes.
He's going to creep in. Careful. Listen to what this verse says. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Brother Taylor, I don't think that I stand in my weakness. I'm not real bold in my weaknesses, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not real cocky over there in Hill Mary's that I know that I don't have a whole lot of victory over just yet. I tell you, every once in a while, if you're not real good and careful, you might smack that old chest and say, man, I've conquered this thing. I'm on top of this thing. I've got this thing licked. I've got this thing whooped. And it'll be in that very hour. It'll be in that very place that the enemy creeps in.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah? Let's see how strong you are, old boy.
Oh, yeah.
See how that thing can hold up on me.
Yes.
I was coming back yesterday from the park. I got the joy of riding with Brother Davis, and he's known me almost as long as my child has known me. I mean, we just reunited. We've been together and didn't even know we've been together for 20 years. Brother Davis, I hope you don't mind me telling it's a part of your little testimony, but it just smote me this morning when I couldn't sleep. He said the Lord made him quit chewing tobacco when he got saved. And he said, a man kindly, just very kindly reproved him. He said he took that chew out of his mouth and took that old red man and done that. Listen, are you listening? He took his hand and went, boop. When he took his hand and did, boop. Brother McVeigh, I took my hand over there and went on the wheel and went, give me that red man. See, I love chewing tobacco. I love the way it smells. I love everything about it. I love the way it tastes. You hear, my flesh loves Copenhagen. My flesh loves Red Man. To the point, Brother Asquith, where there's times that it controlled everything. I'd wake up in the morning. The first thing I would do was put a dip in. And all through the day, instead of eating, man, I would substitute food with chewing tobacco. Substitute food with dip. And man, it just controlled all kind of times in my life. Just had me. My wife still loved me, Brother McBuddy. Kids were still intact.
Right.
I hadn't lost my house. I hadn't lost my cars. I hadn't lost my job. I mean, everything was running just fine and dandy. It wasn't like cocaine. It wasn't like drugs just taking people out. I'm telling you, man, it was that little thing of nicotine that had me licked. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. I couldn't hardly go fishing without thinking, boy, I need to get me a good chew. And I've tried to justify it, church. I've tried to justify it in my mind. If I could just get one pack, I believe if I could just get one pack, I could get me a good old chew. Man, if I could go to a race tonight, I love hanging out with them rednecks. I go to the race. If I could just get me one pack of chewing tobacco, man, I'd chew it tonight and I'd be done.
Come on now.
I quit one time, Brother Taylor, when I was living down there in Florida. Brother, listen, I quit for 3 years. I was rolling down on that golf course. I jumped in a golf cart. I was working on a golf course. And I jumped in that golf cart, and there was one of them Cuban cigars Never smoked no Cuban cigar, but I heard an awful lot about them. But I said, well, couldn't handle it all. I broke that thing in half. Son, I snuck out there behind some trees. I started lighting that. I said, if I could get, I just started lighting that thing up. And I didn't no sooner get that thing lit. Here come my boss, spin around there, and said, hey, what are you doing? Whoa, help me, Jesus, sir. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You knew I was a preacher.
Yes.
He knew I was a little church boy. Yeah, he knew I had religion. Sir.
But it was years before I quit that stuff again. That hooked me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When I got her to the store and got that back of that cannonball. I'm telling you, church, I see just one plug of cannonball. I don't know why I'm on that, but I'm just trying to tell you, friend. I'm just trying to tell you, this morning, that's a weak area in my life. And you know what I've done with that weak area? But Sam, I've guarded that weak area. I protected myself against that weakness. My flesh loves it. My flesh craves it. My flesh desires it. It wants it. But I'm telling you, friend, I've protected myself and guarded myself. I put up my dukes against it. I prayed against it. I begged God to help me. And I'll probably have to do it again next week. Guard that thing, friend. Not one dip. Not one tooth.
Right.
Lest I be ruined.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm talking about me.
You're right.
All I'm saying is that tobacco was a weakness of mine, so I guarded myself against it. Real good against it. Guarding myself. Not been a problem for me, see. It's not been a problem because I've kept my guard. Right? I've tried everything in the world, but I've kept my guard. That's right. Thank God. I mentioned the enemy just a moment ago, and I said this. I said that he attacks our weakness, our weak areas. I did not say that he attacks our weakness. It ain't our weakness that he attacks. He'll find a weak area and make his attack. Why in the world? He'll attack many times in the areas of our life where we're the strongest, where we're the strongest. Where we're the strongest, where we flex our muscles, where we make the largest stand, where we proclaim the loudest voice, that's where he comes after us. Why does he do that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, as a preacher, if I stand on this platform and I let on my conviction, if I take my stand, if I proclaim from the mountaintop, if I set my light on top of the mountain, listen to me, friend. Everybody in the congregation knows where I stand. Everybody in the congregation knows what's right. Everybody knows how firm I am on this thing of adultery. But if he can get me there, what a fall it would be to everybody in this congregation.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it might affect some of you if you caught me with a dip. But I can guarantee you one thing, beloved. It won't affect you nearly as bad if you caught me out there with another woman. Do you hear me? I'm just telling you, I'm a little bit stronger in some of them areas. But there were the areas, friend, where the devil said, if I can get him there, I can destroy him.
Yeah.
In
their
lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yes, get him there.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've caused brothers to stumble. I'll tell you what, friend, I'm talking about a whole congregation stumbling. I'm talking about he's going to get you in an area where you shine the most. That way he can get you to fall the deepest and have the largest effect on everybody around. That ripple, that effect on everybody. Oh, God. He knows how to destroy you. He knows exactly how to destroy this congregation. He can destroy. Hey, I'm pastoring a church that was destroyed in that same fashion. Are you listening? He can destroy this congregation by destroying that man. Pastor a congregation that I took and walked in on. And man, I mean, it was an awful mess. People was wounded. I mean, man, they was just laid out across there hurting and tore up. I mean, the pastor done them wrong. It was a great fall. And boy, we just scraped up that little old remnant. We left that facility burst all around Davie County. landed in a little cornfield. The friend, we ain't got but a handful. But God meets with us. Amen.
Amen.
Glad there's hope even after the fall.
Yes, sir.
It's a blessing, boy. God knows how to get this coming. Hey, Brother Dale.
Yes, sir.
You can stand fine, son. But if that man falls right back there and the devil knows it, if he falls, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. Many times in my life, I've heard men take strong stands. Brother Taylor, I'm 49 years old. I've heard men take strong stands on all kinds of things. I've heard men take strong stands against booze, and thank God they did. Wicked is 97,000 hells. I'm telling you, they worried about all this other stuff. They worried about guns killing sodomites in France and Orlando. Hey, man, how many people do you think died this year out of booze-related accidents? Huh? How many times have you heard? Get on TV and pour out booze. That ain't going to do it, friend. Lawmakers is a bunch of drunks. We better pray and ask God to save that bunch of drunks, that bunch of whore-mugging drunks, and try to have some kind of relationship with Jesus in this country. I've seen them preachers, Brother McVay. I've seen them blow out stuff, man. And the very thing that they blew out, I've seen them fall into. I hate to bring stuff up. Church, you understand, you know, you ain't stupid. I've seen them preachers fall, friend.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said, man, he had a woman problem. No, he didn't. Sam, no, he did not. He didn't have a woman problem. That man had us at the time he preached that stuff. In most cases, I believe from the bottom of my heart, that man was sincere, brother. I believe that man had a burden. I believe that man was fired. I believe that man had a passion. I believe he had a hate. But I believe when that stuff comes out of our mouth, we've got an enemy out there walking to and fro, seeking who he may devour. And he says, if I can get him right there, look at the damage I can do to all those around me.
Exactly.
What a responsibility we have. Listen, church. My brother told me 7 years ago, and I'm personal, okay? I'm a personal preacher. My brother told me 7 years ago, young lady, Dave, I got this thing licked. I got it licked. I got it under control, man. It's going to be okay. And in the back of my mind, I just went, oh, my God. And I looked at him, I said, John, I'd much rather for you to told me that you was out of control, that you had no control, that if God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. He looked at me and said, son, you just don't get it. Are you listening? You just don't. I got this thing, man. I seen him 6 years later. 6 years later, I saw him, Brother Dale. The day he got out of jail for stealing to support his dope habit that he had under control. 6 years down there in a prison cell. Are you listening? 6 years of not being able to walk on a piece of carpet. Do you understand? 6 years of not being able to go into the bathroom in private. 6 years of not being able to go to the refrigerator and get a popsicle just because you want one. 6 years of everybody telling you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. Why? Because he had it under control. I got this thing, man. I got this thing. You don't understand. I got it. Hey, that won't happen to me. I'm in control. I got it licked. Man, my heart broke, you hear me? Because I know that in our strength, we shall fall. You see that word thinketh in your text? It implies that there are areas that we think that we're okay in. You say you know you. He said you think you're standing. You think you're okay. You think you got this thing. You think you're in control. You ain't in control.
Right.
You ain't in control. I'm not in control. I'm 49 years old. I'm not in control. Man, God has to control me. God has to keep me. Man, I have to stay in submission unto Him. You talking about getting out of whack as a 49-year-old preacher. I get so bent out of shape. It's pathetic outside of God. Worst mess you ever seen. Can I promise you that white man's the meanest man you ever seen outside the grace of God? Right, friend? Takes Jesus. Young folks, you know how many young folks I've heard say stuff like, I'll never do that. I've heard it, Brother McVay. I'll never do that. I mean, man, I applaud that. I thank God for that. I appreciate that. But I'm telling you, I believe from the bottom of my heart, Brother Haskell, when that young person says that, they look at that, and I believe they mean it. I believe you mean it.
That's right.
But somewhere in there, when you get to stand, take heed. Take heed, man. Right. Lest you fall. Well, I'm all for standing, but stand with Jesus.
Trying not to do it, Brother McVay. But I've seen young people sit in these just like this.
And shake their heads at the bad testimonies and weep over the little girls like Brother DeWitt explained just now. I've seen girls just weep and then their heart go, don't ever want that to happen to me. And I believe with all my heart they're serious. I believe no girl really wants it to happen to them. But I'm telling you, if we don't take heed in the blink of an eye, I'm telling you that adversary will creep into your life and he'll put you in the same boat. That little girl was in. I ain't trying to be ugly. God, I want to be positive. And I am positive this one thing. You better take heed lest you fall.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I've seen them, Brother McVay. I've seen one not long ago. Best I know, raised halfway decent. Been in camp meetings, youth meetings, good youth meetings. I've seen them sitting in church, Brother Asquith, with their head up against the block walls. Life in a mess. Little girls meant what they said. God somehow, some way, they fell into a snare. God help us take heed lest we fall. Times passed. There'll be time in your life, and time takes care of a lot of things. I've said this so many times. Just give it time.
Yeah.
Just give it time.
Right.
I see this in some of y'all's lives. Just give it time. Just give it time. Time will tell who you are.
Really?
Time will show what you are. That's right, friend. Time will take care of a lot of things for you. You just give it a little bit of time. And I tell you, before you know it, I've seen people, Brother Lou, I've seen them, dear God, in the process of time, fall out the window, end up in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it over and over and over. And I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that said, that won't happen to me. I'll never do that. I'll never do this. God forbid this happens to me.
Yep.
You know how many boys I grew up with that was in church, that were good boys, even had dreams, brother. Some of them had ambitions, good ambitions, great goals. But they didn't take heed. Didn't take heed. They're out. I followed some of them, Brother Lou, to the graveyard. People my age, some of them younger, followed them to. I don't want to tell you horror stories. I didn't come to tell you graveside stories. I'm telling you, friend, I've had to do it a lot. I've had to go down to the mercy room, Brother McVay, and pray for their life while they were hanging on. I've had to go down there and try to hold their hand and say, hey, if you can hear me, wiggle your finger, do something, and me just sit there and look and, oh, God, hope for some kind of a wiggle so I can pray and they have a consciousness of my prayer and have that hope and to see them slip away. Let me give you a few examples and I'll move out of the way.
Let me give you a few examples of some people in the Bible.
What you going to do about old Moses? Huh?
What you do with old Moses? Good man.
Mentioned in the Hall of Faith. A man God used. Everybody knows him all over the world for being God's man. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says, God said he's the meekest of all men. God said about Moses himself, God said it, not his brother, but God said it, that man knows how to control his temper. That man knows how to control his anger. That man right there is the meekest man that's ever walked this world. It's what God testified about old Moses. Moses got on that great man of God, that great pastor, and I wish I could scratch old Moses' surface. Got over there and listen to them people all the time bickering and complaining, whining and just belly aching. I can't do this. I can't do that. Mama won't let me go here. Daddy won't let me go there. I can't do this. I can't do that. To the point where Moses was about to pull his hair out. In Numbers chapter 20, God said, Moses, I want to give him something to drink. Speak to that rock. And out of pure anger, the very area that God said, this man has mastered. This man is the greatest of all in this area. In that area, that man crumbled. Instead of speaking to the rock, he went over and smoked that rock.
Yeah.
Fell. Very thing that God said he was the strongest in.
Let that anger get, got mad, got beside himself, lost control, and went over and smoked the rock of ages, friend. But his place, what God said, you know what I noticed, Brother McVay? God let the water come out of the rock. He still gave everybody out there their supply. Everybody got their thirst quenched. But I tell you one thing, friend, Moses had to pay for that for the rest of his life. He had to bear that the rest of his life. God said, because of that, Moses, you will never enter into the promised land.
You can get by with some things. You can get what you want. This whole world give you what you want. You can get it. God will let you have it. It's your will. But you're going to lose something, I promise you that. It's going to cost you something. It'll cost you. I can't help but think about Moses, but to think about this. Moses' strength was his meekness. What was his weakness? We think, well, he would fall in that weakness. But the Bible said, Moses, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh. Moses said, God, I can't. I've got this speech impediment. I can't speak very well. You see what he did? He took that weakness that he had and he brought it up before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I got something I cannot do. It's out of my control. It's out of my hands. If there's anything going to be done about this, you're going to have to do it. God knew. God gave him an errand. Gave him a mouthpiece. He took that weakness that he had and made it. God made his strength perfect in Moses' weakness. And God said, what you cannot do, I can do without a battle in my eye. It's not a problem for God. Take our problems and cast them on the Lord. I'm telling you, he's a problem solver.
Yes,
man.
He is.
He's a caretaker. Sir, friend. The very area that he was so strong was the area that he failed. What you going to do about old Dave? Huh? A man after God's own heart. Old brother David. God said in the book of Acts. Let's look over there and read that. You want to? I want to read it because it's such a good verse. Don't have to turn there. I'll turn there. Acts 13:22 says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God said, let me tell you something about old David. He loves me like nobody else loves me. You know, old David was sincere, so I had to think people serious about what they say a lot of times.
God said that David was sincere. God said David loved me. God said that he serves the Lord with gladness. God said he was a true servant. He served out of love. But do you understand, brother, that today, and I know you do, you understand that today that they went to war back then, that the kings was always in the mix of the thing? It was the king's duty to get in the heat of that battle with the rest of them people. And I want to tell you something, friend. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that if you love me, you keep my commandments. And God told David to go out there and fight with his people. He told him to go out there and serve the Lord on the battlefield. And in the very area that God said David was the strongest is the very area that David fell. Because when his men went off to war, David stayed at home. I looked across the way, and we know the rest. Can I be honest with you? Bathsheba was not David's problem. Amen. Bathsheba was not David's weakness. It was not his problem. He had all them stinking concubines. You think he needed another? You think he sat around and just needed another woman? He had all he wanted, friend. I'm telling you, he got out of step with God in the very area that he was the strongest in. And in his strength, he looked over there and saw a woman and found an adultery, friend.
Yep.
The fruit of his fall was in Bathsheba. And through it all, God said he's the man after my own heart. I wonder if we can say in here today, if every individual, and I love you, but I wonder if every individual, and I like to try to deal with the young people's meeting, but I want you grown ups to say, I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm right dead in the middle of God's perfect will for my life. I'm doing exactly what God wants me. Hey, listen to me. Listen real good. You can be in here today and you can be lost and on your way to hell and still be right slap in the center of God's will for your life. You say, what are you? I'm talking about you seek after God. You get down to the house of God. You get in that word of God. You stay faithful to church. You keep after God. That's the will of God for your life. It brings you to that place of repentance. Right. Brother Asquith hit it last night, and I don't know why. I just got them quails flying through my mind. But he hit it last night. Being a person sitting in this congregation, I would venture to say that doesn't believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. There's not a person in here that wouldn't believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, hey, went to hell for us. Rose the third day, went and cleaned out paradise, took that blood back to the mercy seat. I'm telling you, friend, not a person in here wouldn't believe that. But not everybody's going to heaven. Because the faith of Jesus Christ. That man said, Lord, I believe. Can I tell y'all something, ladies and gentlemen? I tell my church all the time. When I was in a little old Temple Baptist church in Louisville, North Carolina, and they took them flannel graph lessons and they stuck little Joseph on the board, I had no problem believing everything else. I even thought that was Joseph on the board. When they put Noah's Ark on that board, son, I believed everything that was on that flannel graph board. When they put Jesus on that board and him nailed to a cross, I mean, I believed every bit of that. Little old boy lost, just as lost as the devil. We have to sit down every morning, thank God, and listen to old brother Oliver B. Green come across that radio and say, I love to tell the story. I'm telling you, and preach the unsearchable riches and try to preach the devil out of me. I would take and set my cousins down at the picnic table, brother, when they got off the school bus, and preach that Jesus to them and preach Calvary. 5 years old. The only thing changed is I got saved.
Amen.
I'm just trying to tell you, I believe that, friend.
Yeah. Right.
But there came a day when he had to take my faith and put his faith with my faith, pass me from death unto life. Right. The saving faith of Jesus Christ. David, the man after God's own heart. Golly, I got to hurry. Zach's been in my home. Brother Asquith, I've always had to work, and I think.
thank God for letting me work. I appreciate being able to work. The time in my life where I didn't get to work for a year, boy, it's bad. Because of my back. Brother McVeigh, I could be on my way home from work. And I've heard that small, still voice before on my way home from work saying, go home and pray. Get in your closet and get a hold of me. And by the time I got home, Brother Dale, I always thought I was obedient. I always, you know, said, man, I'll pray, I'll read my Bible, I'll do whatever the Lord wants. That's the simple things, man. And I got home, and by the time you take it up the door and put your foot out, oh, man, your body's aching, and all that blood settled, and you just hurt all over, and you get to walk into the door of the house, and you just want to go in the house and chill for a minute. I'm a man. I just want to go chill for a minute. A minute turns into two, and two turns into an hour. Next thing you know, man, it's late at night. Next thing you know, Sam, my wife said something, I said something. Made her look cross-eyed. She said something made me look cross-eyed. Next thing you know, bless God, the water bottles are flying. Phones is being jerked off the wall. Wind is being busted out. She's dragging me across the yard by the hair of my head. I didn't know that.
And somewhere in the midst of all that, Brother Aspen,
I heard that still song. I said, I told you to come home and pray. If you'd have just listened, son, if you'd have just listened to me, you wouldn't be in this shape. If you'd have just listened to me, you wouldn't be in this place. I can lay you down tonight with some peace in your mind.
Had to show my hinder parts to my children, Brother McVeigh, out of disobedience time and time again. Are you listening? A grown man acting like a stinking little brat.
It wasn't the Clorox bottle that got me. It wasn't the comment my wife made that got me. It wasn't the comment that I made that got her. It was that small, still voice speaking to me going, hi, Lord.
That thing, Brother McVeigh, that I said, I want to show my kids how to pray. That I want them to hear their daddy pray. I thought I was strong in that area. Man, I let my kids, man, I want them to know their daddy's a prayer daddy.
Go in there and show you hind parts. Yes,
instead of praying. Should have been praying, friend. See, that simple, hey, it means everything in the world to me. Because there was some stupid stuff said right then that I've had to apologize 10,000 times for and still feel like a sorry dog for saying it.
Yeah. What you gonna do about old Samson?
Everybody knows he was strong. Had that strength in his hair. Power of God all over him.
Who among us gonna go catch 300 foxes and tie their tail? I'm not catching them, let alone tie their tail. I set them on fire, but I'm not tying their tail.
I promise you that. I thought if I lose attention in here today, I'm gonna explain to everybody what that cat's head looked like last night when I centered it up on my tire.
So you better pay real good attention in here today, or you gonna get some detail. Old Sam took his strength, beat me, stole me, grabbed him, get rid of the gates. I headed to the top of the hill. Get in there, Philistines. Get in the top of that jacket. I'm going to kill them all, friend. Big guy.
Veins running through his arms, looking like water hoses. You hear me?
Laid his head down there in the lap of a wicked woman. Took the power from him, took his strength, stripped him.
Listen, I'm gonna close with this man. See, I'm not gonna go into Peter and Paul and all the rest of them.
Old Sam got off in that sin, friend. He got off in that sin.
Lost his strength over in the lap of that woman and got off in that sin. That sin bound him. Are you listening? Bound him. So don't preach this stuff because anybody else preaches it, I promise you. Preach this stuff because this is in my heart. Michael's from our church. Brother Tim knows my family. Zach's in my family. There's people that knows that I have to look at people that I love with all my heart and watch this stuff happen in their life. I mean, man, when you've got your favorite uncle in the whole wide world, Brother Taylor, I mean, your favorite one, I loved him. I loved him. And you're supposed to meet him at 10 o'clock and he don't show up and you get a phone call and says, he's dead with a needle in his arm. I have to preach this stuff.
You know how many times I sit and talk to my uncle and he hated what he done? He hated who he was. Oh, he despised it. He hated it. He would just yearn sometimes and want away. Oh, he would want away. He would want to be free. He would want to be set loose. But it had him by the nostrils, friend. And it was dragging him to hell.
Wouldn't let go. He was bound. Old Sam over there and chained him up to the grinding mill. They sat and mocked him and laughed at him. You know what? Judas Iscariot got him 30 pieces of silver and come back over there and don't judge. Don't criticize old Judas too much because a few books earlier over in the Old Testament, Jesus said that they're going to buy this field. I'm going to buy this field with 30 pieces of silver. It was a potter's field. Every reject in the world was stood out there in that field. Jesus said, I'm going to buy that field. Yes, that's where he found me, you hear me? Yeah. So I kind of appreciate all Judas fulfilling that prophecy, friend.
Yes, sir.
They made fun of Moses, Samson. They tied him to that old grinding mill, made him labor. You know what the Bible tells me? The way of the transgressor's heart. Don't you ever listen to me. Listen. Don't you ever put up with these little sissified Christians that sit around and mumble and complain about this Christian life. It's the greatest life I've ever lived. It's the greatest life I've ever lived. It is the high life. It is the good life. It is everything to me, friend. I've never had to wallow around in him in my puke. I've never woke up in a pool of blood. He's never woke me up in a jail cell with a bloody head. He's never put me in a jail. He's never put me in a hospital. He's never wrecked my cars. He's never wrecked my home. He's been everything to me. Yeah. And everything. See, it's a joy to serve the Lord.
Amen.
The way of the transgressor's hard.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. If this thing for living for Jesus is hard, I'm going to get out of transgression.
Yes.
That's right. Go over in Jesus.
Oh, boy. Tell you what else sin does, and you know as well as I do where I'm going, sin will blind you. You know they took and gouged old Samson's eyes out, didn't they?
That big old strong man, they gouged his eyes out. You know what I noticed in sin a lot of times? When we first get off into it, Brother Taylor, it seems like we have to sneak around and do it because it's just awful. I mean, man, I've known people and even done it myself where I had to kind of look over my shoulder because I know how bad it is and how wrong I am and just have to kind of sneak off and do it from everybody else and nobody else sees me. But before you know it, friend, I'll be back there behind them trees, behind that barn, behind the house, sneaking around, back there in that bedroom, be back there sneaking around, friend. And I start feeling okay with myself because I've been doing it for a while now. I tell you what I found people doing myself. Well, many a times I even found myself defending my little stupid sins. Somebody can say something and I find a way around it. I find a way to justify it. I find me some kind of yell butt in there somewhere. You know what I'm trying to say, Brother Dale? I'm trying to say sin abides you. Sin abides you. Sin abides you. It starts out awful. It starts out ugly. And before you know it, you don't even see anything wrong with it. Well, I can fornicate because I love her. That was the thing when I was a boy. As long as you love them, it excuses fornication. Brother Dale, I told them all that I love them.
I love you. Them were the magic words. Hey, I love you. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. That stuff, when you get to the place where you don't see nothing wrong with what you're doing, you're in a bad, bad way.
Yes.
Bad, bad way. I've seen so many young, good-looking people get off in this old stupid junk. I got to go. I've seen people in their innocence. I've seen people when sin seeks in and sticks their claws in their flesh. God help us. I've seen it so many times, way too many. I've seen young men, listen to me, parents. I've seen young men so shy that they couldn't talk to people. I mean, they just kind of get off over there by themselves. Are you listening? I believe shyness, that kind of bashfulness, is a devil. Because I've seen so many times that when they couldn't deal with people, couldn't talk to them, they used some kind of substance to overcome. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad used to teach them how to talk and how to look people in the eyes and communicate and quit putting that stinking text message and email and actually look somebody in the eyes and teach them how to communicate. I've seen them, Brother McVay. I've seen them where they just kind of shy and timid. Listen to me. Are you listening? I've seen folks that were so bashful and backwards like you wouldn't believe. I've seen them saying that same individual standing in front of 200 people, take every stitch of clothes off, buck naked, and cuss everybody out for looking at him. Listen. I'm talking about men that went down some crack. You understand? They went down some crack. They overcome this thing and because of this and because of whatever their little justification or excuse might have been. I've seen it transform people's lives and change them into animals, friend.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not talking about people, ladies and gentlemen, that shot people when they were growing up. I'm talking about some good people growing up, good kids, good, quiet, honest kids. Serpent found him away. Oh, right there's that crack. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bust in there. Let me get that one.
It'll bury you. I'm sorry, Zach. I told you this at the church the other day and still can't remember how old are you. 24. It'll bury you. Beautiful little girl comes by my house. She's come by my house. Just a beautiful little girl. She come for money.
About a month ago, she had an overdose. All along, she just kept piddling. Then she got to peddling. Now she's in hell. Sin, friend, get you. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your background is. You can't handle this on your own. Listen, I'm done. I'm so done. Where's Caitlin at? Where's Caitlin? Is she awake? Sarabella awake? Send Sarabella to me. Sarabella, will you come here to me? When you little girls come in with me? I gotta hurry. Come here, baby. Come to you, preacher. She's so good.
Preacher, what am I supposed to do? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God,
amen,
that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to improve that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, preacher, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to go trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Preacher, what am I supposed to do? Jeremiah, the old prophet, said it's not in a man to direct his steps. Man, wisdom said, if you'll trust in the Lord, He'll direct your steps.
Yes,
Jesus said, my word is a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. It'll light you up from here all the way to heaven, friend. If you'll just saturate yourself in my word, I'll take care of this stuff. Come unto me. I'll take care of this stuff for you. Come unto me. I'll take care of this stuff for you.
Thank you. Hey, where you at with Jesus? Where you at? Are you laying in his bosom? Are you resting in the Lord? Are you trusting in him? Where you at today? Because I tell you, if you trust in anything else, you're going to fall, friend. And I love you way too much to see you do that. I won't see nobody else fall. Bless you. I'm done with it.
Brother Cliff, I'm just going to say this real quick here. Brother, if we have to sweat you all night, year after year, we're going to sweat you all night. You tell them 2 days ahead of time next time. I recently read Winston Churchill's epic book on John Churchill. Lord Marlborough, the Duke of Marlborough. Long, 3 volumes. And Marlborough figured this out when the French ruled the world, the Germans ruled the world. They ruled all of Europe. He figured this out when the armies came together. And each man's as strong as the one on the other side. They all got great guns. What he learned was this. First of all, that the discipline of his men was going to make the difference. And what he'd do is he'd hit the French on this side. Maybe their weak side. Hit them for a while. And it's their weak side, you're going to do some things to strengthen it. And then he'd go hit them on the other side. But he'd wait until he finally broke the order and the discipline. Their strong front, trying to handle these attacks on either side.
Yeah.
And then he'd charge, blind them first. Okay? So about 1980s, the Falkland Islands served the British well. You know, we laugh a lot of times at those British organizations, you know, the drummers, the metal marching. For 250 years, the world fell wherever they went. Here's what the secret of that was. A British musket, it took 8 steps to fire. That musket had to ramrod clean, pour powder, pack paper, put your ball in, put some more powder, bring it up, aim, fire. There was 8 steps altogether in that. And in the battle, if too many men fired at one time, you had all that time of those 8 steps that group couldn't fight. And so the British, the most important thing to them was the drummer boy. By the Civil War, shoot the drummer boy. Shoot the drummer boy. What's a drummer boy doing? And that British army, and they had this down, were undefeatable because you could not break the discipline that every 8th man's ramrod was going down. Every 8th man was pouring his powder. Every 8th man was dropping his ball. Every 8th man was packing it down. Every 8th man was aiming. Every 8th man was firing. And they would just march doing that. No other army could keep that discipline. And that British lieutenant marching with them would suddenly see, poof, all this white powder from a flank of the German, the American, the French army, whatever it was. And he realized they can't fight. That way. And that army would just melt. His men would never stop. And it didn't matter if all the men on the other side were stronger than his men, braver than his men, more willing to die than his men. They never broke the discipline of that army. You leave here, get on 86, head east, you're going to come to Steuben County. Just for a moment, thank God, a man by the name of Steuben went to Valley Forge, taught the Americans. Honor his name.
Amen.
Thank God that the man was there. Okay? Thank God taught them that. They never got as good at it as the British did, but they were at least able to face them and get out there. You know what Job described hell as? A place without order.
describe hell as a place without order. That's why some of your lives are hell.
Yes, sir.
There's no order.
Yes, sir.
There's no order to it. And what is the order to your life? Brother Lou Del Antonio, one of my great strengths in life, I can say. All right? But Brother Lou and I were talking this morning about the idea of that battle of heat in the Bible. You know, I'm a King James Bible believer, loving a preacher and all that kind of thing. There's mornings I wake up and I go, I'm going to read my Bible. Okay? And it's like a weariness. I got all this stuff to do up there, read that Bible verse. I'm here. Okay? But you know what I've learned? The devil's trying to break the order of that.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, sir, that's it.
He wants to break the order.
Yes, sir.
He wants to break that order. He'll attack me on this weak side here. I defend it because I can handle it. I've got Jesus. Attack me on that left side. Well, I can handle it. I've got Jesus. But after a while, the devil noticed it's broken the order of my life. Didn't read the Bible today, did you? You didn't have that time of prayer, did you? You know, all those little things you said you wouldn't do, you kind of do. They're just small, but you're doing them. See that? Charge at the front. 250 years, British ruled the world because you could not break the order of their armies. And every British man understood that, that his strength wasn't his arms or anything like that. The strength was that on this beat, I will put the ball in. On this beat, I will pour the powder in. On this beat, I will ram it down. On this beat, I will do this. On this beat, I will run. If you think about the preachers, gun run over the years. I know a lot who have been flashes in the pan.
Right.
Okay? Strong for a while. I was a flash in the pan at one time myself. I've known a lot of them. But if you want to see the ones who've made it through the years, ask the men who've been around a while. You can't break the order of their life.
Right.
Can't break it. Important thing you can do is establish an order in your life. Don't make some big exaggerated order. You'll fall.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'd rather you set two or three little things and make them the order of your life, and that you hold them no matter what. Hold on to those things. Don't let those things ever, ever, ever fall apart. John Paul Jones said, "Sir, I have not yet begun to fight." Very few people understand. We read history books on the boat on Richard. We still don't grasp this one thing going on. The two ships came together, and the Serapis had far more guns than the boat on Richard. And what the British Navy loved to do was just pull in next to it and then just start firing those cannons into that wood. Fire those cannons into that wood. And I don't care how brave you are when your ship's sinking, it's off. It's over. And at some point, you put up a white flag, you surrender, and your men at least get to live. They march over there. They go down in holds. If you're an officer, you don't go to the captain's cabin, eat with him, that kind of stuff. But it's over. It's done. This Serapis came there. What John Paul Jones ordered his men to do was lash the two ships together. Now, this was a common technique with a weaker ship, because then you have your men try to run them and take your ship over on the decks. So the British developed the best marines in the world. That hadn't happened to the British in 100 years. It was just a technique they weren't going to let happen. Okay? And so, you know, sure enough, or, you know, I mean, John Paul Jones's men, they tie all the ships together. And, you know, so the British do exactly what a well-trained British officer. Marines are up there, they're not climbing on this ship. And we're just, now they're this little, I mean, they're banging together, and the British, boom, blowing the cannon, boom, blowing the cannon. And, you know, the Bowman Richard, boom back, but it's a heavier ship, they don't have as many cannons. And the British officer, very kindly, said, "Sir, are you ready to parley? Would you like to surrender now?" He said, "Sir, I have not yet begun to fight." And it was too late before the British officer realized what the game was. He wasn't going to allow them to untie the ships. The moment Richard went down, so was the surroundings.
Yeah.
Yep. And suddenly he realized too late, oh my goodness, we are tied together. And now the orders get the ropes cut, but they can't get the ropes cut because the Americans are fighting for the ropes. And finally, one man wasn't willing to die for his country. Told Mr. Jones, we'll surrender our ship. We'd like to live. What is it the devil has tied up with you? And has discerned that he's not going to let those ropes be cut. What is it that you're still joined and you just can't let go of that thing? And he's just determined. And at first you misunderstand the whole battle. You don't even understand. That's the whole strategy. Just keep you tied together there. And you don't care if everybody sinks. You don't care if everybody dies. What is it? Brother, what is that? Mm-hmm.